This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I've really wrestled with this message all week. And it's not because I don't believe the message. It's actually a key message. It's something that I carry that burns in my heart. But it's a message that has the potential to alienate people. It's a message where the scriptures that I'm reading from have been used to hurt people. And I don't want to do that. I never, ever want to see that. And it's not God's heart either. You're probably all going, what the heck's he preaching on? It's the passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Marriage, parenting, workplace. As soon as the preacher gets up to talk about marriage, you know, I know that it's going to hit buttons. Especially when we read Ephesians chapter 5. Because it's been used in a way that has actually trapped people and has hurt people. And if I'm completely honest, there's been times when we've spiritually abused people by using these passages of Scripture. And I want to be someone who never does that. So please hear my heart today. For those of you who are not married, who are not parents or all those things, God's grace is in all of it. And this is one of the reasons why I played that clip, was because we carry our labels, we carry our stuff into everything we do, and it's time to take the labels off and just have the beloved. Does it mean that there's going to be a click and things are going to be fixed? No, so that's a process, and we have to learn how to live in the newfound freedom, and we have to go on a journey of understanding these things. But the reason I've been wrestling with it is because I just don't want to get up here, preach a message, and you think, well, that's all it is, and feel like you aren't doing overly well in that area, because I'm a work in progress too. Shell and I have been getting marriage counselling for the last 6 months. Why? Because I love my wife and I want to be a better husband and I want to have the best marriage I possibly can. And we all have stuff. And it's really important that we go there. So, I'm going there today. Our faith is meant to be a living faith. If we just come to church and we hear nice things and we have good theology, which is important, but it doesn't interact and it doesn't change the way that I love my wife, my children, the way I conduct myself in my workplace, the way I do life, then it's empty words and it's just up here. It means nothing. Little bit like it says in Corinthians, if you can heal people and you can see all these things but you don't have love, you're just a sound banging gong. You just like the sound of your own voice. Because actually what underpins all of it and the transformational journey in our lives is because we are loved and we have met love. You want the definition of love? God. Sounds simple. It's a complex thing. But genuine love comes from a place of knowing Him and Him knowing us. As many of you know, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is John chapter 17. John 17:3, by this is eternal life, that you will know Him. That word know, and I know I've preached on it, is gnosko. Gnosko is a Jewish item of making love, the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. Marriage is the closest relationship on earth that resembles our relationship between us and Christ. why it's so important. And why it's so important that the scripture, the living word, is so ingrained in it that actually it affects us in these three vital areas. Because who knows, families are under attack. Our kids are under attack. Our community. Our workplaces need lights. They need people full of the love of Christ in them. Can I go to the first slide, please, Nath? Ephesians 5:1. This is where it all begins. Be imitators. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. It's a mind-blowing thought, isn't it, that our Father wants us to look like him? Let that sink in. Our Father in heaven wants you and me to look like him, to behave like him, to think like him. And the beautiful thing is, he then empowers us to do it because of his Spirit in us. Because I know myself too well, I know that I can't do it by myself. It often amazes me why Michelle even married me, because I look back to the young fellow that I was when I was 18, 19, 20. My goodness. Arrogant, proud, full of myself. Thought I had it all sorted out. Then I got married and soon found out that I didn't. Not because Shell told me, because I had no idea what it meant to be a husband or a father or many other things. But we're called to imitate him. Next slide. We're meant to look, sound, and smell like Jesus. Now, it's a bit weird, but it's in the scripture. And continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. I'd like to be that. I don't want to be someone who's known for being one of those sort of stinky people that just walks into a room and their stuff carries them in them. I want to come in and be a shining light when I walk into the room. We've all seen it. We all know it. You're in an environment and someone walks through the door and the cloud comes with them. That's not condemnation. It's just where they're at. God wants to remove the cloud and let him, his fragrance, follow him. And he wants that for every single one of you. Next slide, please. I want to be like my dad. I've shared this before, but Elijah, when he was about 5 or 6, I remember him walking up to me and saying, I just want to be like you, Dad. I want to do everything like you, Dad. He doesn't say it so much now as a 15-year-old. But I know better, because I know the conversations he has with me. I know the way he looks at me. I know the way he follows me. I know the little questions he asks me in the car. He wants that, because every young man wants to be like their dad. And every young woman needs to know that their daughter is a princess. And as I was reading this this week, and I went, You might remember these words. You may even break out in song as I read it. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way. There were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. You want to burst into song? You know the, know what I'm talking about? Cats in the Cradle. Yeah, that's right. He'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, the Little Boy Blue and the Man on the Moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come out to play. Come, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. And he said, oh, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like you. Yeah, I'm going to be like him. And the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man on the Moon. When are you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college the other day. So much a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can we sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? You know the chorus. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon, the Little Boy Blue and the Man on the Moon. When are you coming home, son? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time. A song that we all know so well. But a song at the core of it is brokenness. Because then our desperate thing, and Ruth, you shared it before, is that our mums and our parents, they just need our time. That our time and our presence is actually more, is the most important gift we can ever give. But it also says to me, this song, that everything we do is being watched. Everything we do is being observed. I know by the very fact that I'm your pastor, you're watching me. Just a byproduct of the role. I know as a dad I'm being watched. I know the way I love my wife is being observed. Because I know that the very thing that I am going to, that my children are watching the way I love their mum, because that will actually be a demonstration to them how they're going to love their future wives. Is this serious stuff? Yeah. Is it really hard? Yeah. And on our own strength, do we muck it up? Yeah, all the time. That's where we need God's grace. That's where we need this terrifying words, but they're the most liberating, of authenticity and vulnerability with our God and with the people in our lives. I could turn into an exegetical preacher. I'd bore the living daylights out of you because it's not my gift. But I could close up my heart and I could just do the job and I could just do that and not share my thing with you, and I can guarantee you wouldn't want me as a pastor for long. I wouldn't want to be that kind of pastor. But I can guarantee you one thing, is that I will always be authentic and I will always be real with my wife and my kids first and with you as a church family. Because we need to learn to live this stuff out together. As to get to the place, I'm not at that place where I can say, you imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul got to that place. What an amazing place to get to in your walk with Christ, that Paul was so confident in his relationship with God that he goes, you imitate me because I'm imitating him. Wow. To get to this place is intentional choices. So in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, if we can go to the next slide, please, Nathan. And have nothing to do with sexual immorality, lust or greed, for you are his holy ones. And let no one be able to accuse you of them in any form. Guard your speech, forsake obscenities and worthless insults, for these are nonsensical words that bring disgrace and are unnecessary. Instead, let worship fill your heart and spill out in your words. It's a pretty high bar. But why is God saying, will you do that? Now, there's a contextual thing in this. He was writing to the church in Ephesus. The Ephesus was a capital where you would go to the temple and there'd be temple prostitutes, and the blokes did it all the time. So don't think our sexual immorality that we're dealing with in our world is just new. It's been going for a long time. But that was the reality. That was part of their worship. So it's saying, put those things off. They're not good for you. Dressing yourself in those things is not imitating me. So put them off. Get rid of them. Get them out of your life. With the Spirit's help, you can do it. Because you're called to imitate me. Because the place of genuine intimacy is in marriage. And if we do it God's way, we have a beautiful, rich marriage. If we don't, it gets distorted. That's why God wants it that way. Now, for anyone in this room that is feeling condemnation on that thing, the Holy Spirit says, you are forgiven. And that's part of the process that every single one of us are on, of being restored and renewed and to know that we are completely forgiven. I don't know everybody's story. But whenever you read those scriptures, you can either read it from a place of condemnation or you can go, oh God, I don't want that stuff in my life. Can you help me? Can you help me get rid of it so I can just be imitator of you? Proverbs 4:23 says in the next slide, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Get a corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Be careful. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. God wants all of us to be able to do and live that way. Next part of my message, please. Next slide, sorry. I read this week from in a book by Mark Dehusas, Experiencing God's Love as a Father. The bond of marriage is an opportunity to give and receive the power of committed love. The marriage covenant was designed to help you learn what it means to fully love someone for a lifetime, where you taste of the faithful covenant God has with his people. Getting married is not just about having a nice life. It's about learning to mature in what committed love means. It also empowers believers to know what it means to be the bride of Christ in awaiting our marriage to King Jesus. Throughout marriage, we'll have the opportunity to grow in what it means to love someone unconditionally, the way Christ loves us and gave himself for us. If you are open to this process, you can learn the power of sacrifice, selflessness, honor, and respect in a dynamic way. It's God's design for humanity. I know, because I know some of your stories, that to hear that about marriage, and there's people that have been divorced, there's people that have experienced separation, there's people that have experienced domestic violence in relationships and all of these things. The last thing I want to do this morning is make you feel like you are condemned because of these things. What I'm pointing to today is the fact that this is what Scripture says a good marriage can look like when we do it His way. But I guarantee you, the reality is we're people and we get a choice. This is the beautiful part of the... It's the frustrating part, because if I was God, I don't know that I would have given humans free will, to be honest. But He's given us a free will to choose. We can choose to submit to Him. We can choose to do it His way. We can go our way, His way. We can do it in between. And there's grace for every part of the journey to heal us and bring hope. For those of you who are single in the room, God wants you to be so secure, He becomes your husband. Sounds a bit weird, but it's biblical, I believe. And the same thing, He wants us to imitate Him. But for those of you who are married, and this first part of this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, you know, sometimes, I've talked about it before, extra grace required people. There was a bloke in my men's ministry that God sent along. And he took this first verse. Therefore, submit to one another out of the reverence of Christ. He sort of skimmed over that bit. But he went, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as the Lord. And he sat down with me one day and he goes, if my wife would just submit to me, everything would be all right. All the women in the church go, ah! I had to learn how to use my verbal skills to belt him up rather than actually physically hit him, because I was a nice Christian. Because I knew his wife. I knew the way he treated his wife. So as lovingly and graciously as I possibly could, I tried to help him. Unfortunately, he never listened. And his marriage is busted up and he's now dealing with the consequences of that. Sad. Because we've gone there and we've and it's been preached from the pulpit and it's been all sorts of things. And submit yourself, you know, wives, just submit. Just do whatever he says and it'll be all right. But we don't read the next part of the verse. So let's read it all. Starting at verse 21. Can we just go back up a little bit? Thanks, mate. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Remember, foundation, we're imitating Him. For wives, this means to submit to your husbands to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. He is the Saviour of His body, and the church, as the church submits to Christ. Your wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Leave it there and all the women walk out of the church. We need the next bit. Next one, please. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Our job's to die, boys. Our job's to serve in such a way that our wives are handed back in so much better condition because they've actually been married to us. He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of the word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, or with any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. I don't think I've ever met a woman that would actually say, if my husband had lived like that, then I'd very happily come under his leadership. Because it's never a lead to dominate. It's always a lead to serve, build up, and encourage. Next slide. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. There's a six, you know, in each of these passages, there's probably a six-week series that we could really dig into. But the general premise is, guys, the way you love your wife matters. It matters more than you realize. For any single blokes in here, this is why it's so important to get away from pornography and get away from anything that is going to distract you from being able to be the best husband you can be. Because you're only meant to have eyes for one. Keeping ourselves pure, our heart to serve, to lay down our lives, to make sure that our wives... I remember someone saying to me, my job as a husband is to hand back my wife at the end of the time in a healthy place. Because I've learned how to love her well. I'm not standing up here saying I've done that. There's been times where I've blown it big time. Been many times I've had to apologise to Michelle. There's been many conversations I've had to have with my boys where I've blown it. And I've had to tell them, I've blown it and I've done this to your mum. The reason she's not doing so good is because of me. Some of the hardest conversations, but actually in hindsight, I think it's been some of the best conversations because my boys have actually now know what it's like. It's okay to come and admit that you've done something wrong. I'm not trying to paint myself as if I've got it all sorted out and I know how to do this. I'm still learning every day. But I can guarantee you, if I don't love my wife well, I don't deserve to be the pastor of this church. In fact, I probably would do, I shouldn't be here. Because she's my number one. I remember one day my boys were disrespecting Shell and they soon learnt not to do that. And that's because I said, don't you talk to my wife like that. I chose her before you came along and she's going to be around a lot longer than you're going to be here. And if you ever treat her like that ever again, we've got problems. Hasn't happened. Because I've got her back and I want that to be the case. I say, is it perfect? No. Are we sorting through things? Yeah. And I want to learn how to love my wife as Christ loves the church. And I want to encourage every single one of you blokes to do the same. I'd say it probably a lot harder if we were just a group of men. But if we learn how to prefer each other, because that's really what it is. Marriage is the decision to prefer each other above every other person in the world. And the greatest gift you can ever give to your children is to love each other well in the context of Scripture as both of you go on a journey of imitating Christ and allowing His love to permeate everything you do. And you step in and you just be who God's called you to be, completely loved, His beloved, and two of His beloved come together, become one flesh. It's a divine mystery, but it's a beautiful thing. Everybody loves to be told how to parent from the platform, I know. If we can go through to the parenting slide, please. There we go. But as I already said, most of what we teach our children is caught and not taught. They are watching us more than we realise, and we cannot hide from our kids because they see everything. The greatest opportunity for true discipleship is in our relationship with our children. Obviously, there's various stages of relationship between people in this place, between whether you've got little kids or whether your kids have grown up and left home. You never stop being a dad. You never stop being a mum. And we can all look back and we can go, well, I shouldn't have done that way, or I should have done that. Well, we did the very best, because I don't know a parent that actually goes out of their way to actually hurt their kids. We do the best with the resources we've got. And as God does work in our hearts, he gives us grace, and conversations and healing and reconciliation are all available. But like always, people have got a free choice whether they accept those things. So please, if there's anyone in this place that has just got kids that are far away from God, or you're just not in a good relationship with them, me right here, right now, I don't know what that's like as a dad. I know little bits of it. I know what it's like to be separated from my brothers and so those things and the pain that that causes, but I can't imagine the pain of when family members are away or they're estranged from you, when they're your own children. I can't imagine the pain of that. So I'm not sitting here in this place going, you know, just do this and it'll be all this 1, 2, 3 and it'll be all okay. We are real life. We're living this out every day in all the stuff of life. But the simple thing of Scripture is that God wants to bring reconciliation. He wants to bring hope. He wants to do these things. And as we go on a journey of changing our hearts before the Father, I believe that some of the byproduct of that will be parents and families united. And I want to even prophetically declare that today, that there is people in this house. We've already declared the prodigals are going to come home to the church. But actually what I want to stand and say, Father God, we declare that families will be reunited, that children will be reunited to their mums and their dads. Malachi chapter 6 says, they will restore the hearts of the fathers or the parents to the children, the children to the parents, and otherwise there will be a curse on the land. So, Father, we just declare right now in the name of Jesus that there will be a reconciliation and a restoration. Father, it's a part of the end times revival. As you come back for your church, the families will be reunited in Jesus' name. For those of you who've got young kids, those things, one of the things, there's two stories that come to mind. One, I took Isaac out. He was about 16. We went out for Indian. And I looked him in the face and said, Isaac, I'm really sorry, mate, but I've made so many mistakes in raising you because I had no idea what I was doing. He looked at me, as Isaac only can. He goes, yeah, I know, Dad. And then he looked at me and said, but it's okay. And I said, I'll probably make plenty more. I've never had a 21-year-old before, so I'm going to make more mistakes as he gets older. But the grace that he showed me in those moments were really quite amazing, and actually the importance of actually being real with my kids. Understand what's going on in our hearts. There was a situation that happened last year in the middle of some of my hardest times, where Aaron, who has an ability to touch buttons because he's a lot like me. And so Shell sometimes says, oh, you two are like, you know, two bulls going at each other. And I was going through a bit of a tough time, and there was a lot of emotions going around, and Aaron didn't do something that I'd asked him, and I exploded at him. Not physically or anything like that, but I yelled at him in a way that anger came out. And of course, me and my pride, I didn't want to admit it straight away, even though Shell confronted me on it straight away. But I realised afterwards, as God sort of said to me, with that moment that actually hurt your kids, you exacerbated your child out of your own stuff. So I did some time with God, asked for forgiveness, and then went to him and asked forgiveness, and then went to the rest of the family and asked their forgiveness. And we're okay. But it's just an example how sometimes if we don't go to the Father with our stuff and our brokenness and our hurt, or we don't process those things, it leaks, and it leaks out and those things, and unknowingly we do it. Once again, God's grace is enough, and that's why we need His grace. That's why we need Him so much, because He wants us to be shining lights of His kingdom, and some of that is actually about just being real and being vulnerable. One of the things that God said to me about parenting was learn to read the book that's already been written. Where does that come from in Scripture? Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid bare before a single day had passed. And I realized that my job as a parent was not to actually try and make my boy into anything he wasn't, but it was actually to learn to read the book that God has already written and allow that to come to the fore. So to any parents in the room, that's your job. It's an extreme privilege. An extreme privilege. And I know we're running out of time. We've got lunch to get to. So with our workplaces, it goes on. And now in this context of Scripture, it talks about slaves honor your masters and masters are slaves. I was reading through in the Aramaic, it actually talks about your employees. And in both, so in that culture, it could have meant both end. You could have been employed by somebody or you could have been a slave. In that culture, it was slavery was normal. But the whole context behind these Scriptures is that if I am in relationship with Christ, if I'm imitating Him, I take Him into my workplace. So the question is, and for the sake of time, I encourage you to go read the Scriptures. I'll leave you with three questions when it comes to your workplace. What kind of employee are you? Are you the kind of employee that people know they can rely on, that they see God's love in them, that you bring joy, you bring the fruits of the Spirit to the environment? Some days, yeah. What kind of employer, if you employ people? Are you stingy? Are you hard? Are you those things or are you generous? All those things. I know a lot of people have, if I said some of the hardest bosses who ever worked for are sometimes the Christian bosses. I know some of mine, I had one guy, tell me, a Christian guy, told me that I had a poverty spirit because he hadn't paid me. Yeah, because you haven't paid me. And I need to put food in, I need to fill up my fuel tank so I can get to work. So give me more money. Do your colleagues see Jesus in you? We're just meant to represent Him. As we imitate Him, it's meant to flow out into everything we do. So ultimately, all of these things in our marriage relationships, in our way we parent, in the way we do things, it's Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. You don't stop being a child of God. You just mature. Sons and daughters become mums and dads. It's the way it goes. We have our little ones. They transition to teenagers. They transition to adulthood. Our hope is that they will choose wisely, they'll get married, and that they will be children. But those kids don't stop being that. I don't stop being the son of Edward and Olive Pilcher, even though mum and dad have passed away. I'm still their son. But I'm also now a dad to Isaac, Aaron, and Elijah. And one day I hope to be a grandpa. Oh, that's going to be fun. We don't stop being sons, but we mature into becoming adults. Mature sons and daughters who actually produce sons and daughters. It's a family thing. The whole concept of church. So you might be going, oh, this message really hasn't applied to me today. Well, you're in the family of God, so therefore, that's why He's designed it to be. It was never designed to be a place where you just turn up, attend, go home. It was never meant to be that. It's the family of God. If you're struggling with stuff, we all struggle with you. That's why we need each other. That's why I love that you're here, Ruth, and you shared your story. and many others, because we get to love one another. We get to care for one another. Do we do it perfectly? No, never. But we're called to imitate him, and we're all on a journey to being that. I don't want an aimless, cats in the cradle kind of following Jesus, where you accidentally get to the end of your life, you realize they've become just like you, but it may not be the you that you want it to be. Imagine if our children could say, I imitated Dad and Mum because they imitated Christ. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the grace over marriages. I thank you for the grace over our parenting. I thank you that there is so much truth in this scripture. Father, for anyone who has been these scriptures that have been used to abuse them or make them feel like they're less worthy or any of those things, Father, we just ask right now in the powerful name of Jesus, will you break that off? For anyone in this place who has walked through the pain of divorce or broken relationships, whether it be with their children or whether it be in their marriages, Father, right now I just ask for an extra outpouring of your grace to be upon them so that they feel your healing touch, that they feel your heart of love around them. Because, Father, we do not want anyone to feel condemned, because your word says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Father, will you continue to take us on a journey and teach us and grow us, fill us with your spirit as we look to be imitators of you and you alone. Transform our marriages, transform our relationship with our kids, restore relationship with our children and our grandchildren. Maybe even, Father, there might be someone in this place that actually have an estranged relationship with their mums and their dads. Father, I pray that will be even, there'll be something that will be able to be broken today, and that will be able to become a reality. For you are restoring the hearts of the children to the parents and the parents to the children, as you declare in Malachi 6. We declare that again in this place. Thank you for your extravagant love. And I just pray, Father, that as we head out to have a time of fellowship and hanging out, having a meal together, to enjoy time together, that it'll be rich time, getting to know one another's stories, encouraging one another in our faith. We pray for a blessing to be upon the team that are cooking, Jean and Jill and Julie, who came in yesterday. Father, we just pray that would the blessing of food will be to only our bodies, and bless them for the hands that prepared it today. And we just thank you for your extravagant love. In Jesus' name we declare. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.